Hello and welcome to the Closeted Soul podcast. In this podcast, we dive deep into the spiritual and esoteric side to the world. I was an atheist for most of my life, and in being an atheist, I cut myself off from source and the magical side to the universe. In reconnecting to my soul, spirit, and purpose, I was able to completely transform my life, and now I want to help you do the same. It's now my mission to help you utilize the spiritual world to cultivate self-love, self-trust, and self-understanding in order to then better navigate this physical world around us. So join me on this journey of insane self-discovery and let's learn and grow in both the spiritual and physical world together. Hello to all my fellow weirdos out there who are just as much obsessed with the spiritual world as I am. Welcome back to the Closeted Soul podcast. For this week's episode, I had the pleasure of interviewing Life and Alignment Coach Erica. Now, Erica helps spiritual seekers to connect to their inner essence daily through spiritual leisure. Now, this conversation I found was so expansive. It was so good. I'm so excited for you guys to hear what Erica has to teach us today. I learned so much through her. And yeah, I'm just excited to see what you guys get out of this conversation. She has developed a lifestyle called the Spiritual Leisure Lifestyle. Now, she developed this lifestyle because she realized that throughout the day, it was really easy to kind of lose yourself and to lose your purpose and to lose your why, right? It's so easy to disconnect from our higher self and be operating through ego throughout the day. Because if you think about it, like how many hours are there in a day, right? And then you think about how many, you know, situations can arise in a day that might trigger you. And it just, you know, so many things can happen and it's easy to fall out of alignment. So Erica has developed this lifestyle where you can really easily tap back into alignment and tap back into your soul and your highest purpose. So I just thought it was so amazing hearing her speak, and it was really, yeah, it taught me so much. I won't blab any longer. I'll let Erica explain all about the spiritual leisure lifestyle and all about her work and, you know, her spiritual story, or her spiritual awakening, I should say, spiritual story. Wow. I'm excited to see what you guys think of the episode. As always, if you enjoy the episode, please don't forget to give it a... Oh, what is happening with my English? Oh my gosh, the Shinglish is really coming out. But don't forget to give it a rate and review on iTunes. I would love to hear from you guys. And if you guys feel called to share it on social media or you want to reach out, we are most active on Instagram. The details are linked below. And yes, without further ado, let's welcome Erica to the podcast. Hi, Erica, and welcome to the Closeted Soul podcast. Thank you so much for taking some time out of your day to be here with us. I'm so excited for this chat.
Hello, I'm also so excited to be here.
Before we actually get into anything, I'd love it if you could introduce yourself to the listeners and just explain a little into what it is you do.
Yeah, of course. So my name is Erica Baim, and I am from the state of Wisconsin in the United States. I am a life and alignment coach, and I'm the creator of the Spiritual Leisure Lifestyle brand. Basically, my purpose here on Earth is to help people remember who they are and how powerful we are as the creators of our life. I like to say that my coaching container is like a space to re-identify yourself as God and create your unique version of heaven on earth.
I love that you said that, to redefine yourself as God. Lots of people get triggered by that because they're like, no, you're not God. God is above you. God is the like all-knowing, all-powerful. And I have the same perspective as you in that sense, that I believe that we are God. We are truly the creators of our reality. And when you give yourself that power back, everything changes. So I love that you teach on that.
Yes, everything changes. Like, just, it's so empowering.
Before we get into anything else, I always ask my guests, seeing as this is the Closeted Soul podcast, I'd love if you could tell us when you first came out of the spiritual closet.
Oh my gosh, I love that question. Yeah, so for me, it was probably around when I was like 16 years old. So I had been raised Catholic and I just never really resonated with it. And at this time, I was kind of questioning it and getting really curious about my existence and, you know, just being so curious. And what really, like, I have nothing against Christianity or anything like that. Like, being on my spiritual journey I am now, I've come so full circle and can so appreciate like the Bible and Jesus's life and everything. But how it was presented to me at that age and how I kind of felt and experienced the people in the church around me, it seemed like people were sacrificing their life now to get to this place, to get to heaven that they couldn't even prove existed. So I was like so caught up on that. And it just led me to really question everything. So the reason why I think I was ultimately getting so caught up on this is because I've always been someone who is just so in love with life. And I think that life is so beautiful and is so full of possibility and opportunities. So I didn't understand why people were looking towards this afterlife that they couldn't even prove existed and kind of sacrificing their life now in a way. So also at this time, like I've always been into reading, and during this time, like I had always been reading fiction books, and I stumbled upon my first nonfiction book, my first personal development book, and it was called The Happiness Project. So this book basically taught me that we create our own happiness and we create it from within. And I just was so intrigued by that and wanted to learn more about this personal development world, but I was so new to it. So I just went to the library and I searched happiness because it seemed like to me everyone was after happiness. Like that's how you live a good life, right? So the next book I read was called 10% Happier. And this book is really about meditation. So that was my first introduction to meditation. And then I just kept like following the rabbit hole in the library and I found a book about Zen Buddhism. And Zen Buddhism, or Buddhism in general, just really clicked for me because it was about living in the present moment. And considering everything I was questioning with the religion I grew up on, it just made so much more sense to me because it's using the power of your mind to reduce your suffering rather than looking into this afterlife in heaven where there's no suffering. And I just learned that I have the power to reduce my suffering and to create my own happiness now. So I was so interested in this, and again, just following the rabbit hole at the library and was looking at the books next to this one on the shelf and found this book that had like 101 different philosophies in it or something like that. And I picked it up, and I remember this day so clearly when I was reading it. I was on my patio reading about all of these different ways to live, and I had this aha moment. I was like, wow, there are so many different ways to live, and I get to choose. So from here, I was just pondering and thinking about the kind of life I wanted to live. I was like, okay, I want to live a deep and meaningful life. I don't know where that came from. And then I also figured, okay, to live a deep and meaningful life, I need to be spiritual. also don't know where that came from. It was just like in me. But, you know, I was questioning the religion I was raised on. So I decided, okay, I need to create my own way of being spiritual. And I didn't know what that was going to look like, how to do that. But that was really like how my spiritual awakening or how my spiritual journey began. And from there, just consumed all of the personal development books, all of the content, just so hungry for knowledge. But that was really how it all started for me.
As we do, once you really like tap open that world, you're just like, oh my God, I want to learn all of the things. So you like consume all the podcasts, the books. Yeah, that was me as well. I love that story so, so much. I love that. I find that with spirituality, a lot of us kind of have similar stories in that we were experimenting with religion and it not really feeling right, you know, and then finding your own way of doing things, your own way to kind of navigate this world. And I think that that's so, so, so beautiful that you were just really searching for meaning.
Yes, exactly. Like I just wanted something that felt like me and aligned with me. And I think it's so beautiful that we have all these different modalities of religion and spirituality because everyone is different. And what works for one person isn't going to work for another person. So I love encouraging people to get curious and really living a life that is their truest alignment.
Absolutely. I agree. So you said something about Buddhism that I want to bring up because I really felt called to learn about Buddhism from a young age. And then I quickly got distracted because I was in my young teenage years and I let it go very quickly. But I also got drawn to Buddhism at the start as well. And I'm currently reading the Tibetan Book of Living and Dying. Have you heard of it?
Yes, I have heard of it, but I haven't read it yet. I
haven't read it. Yeah, I'm struggling with lots of like life and death things right now. So I'm trying to get comfortable with talking about death and the whole death in general, right? So I'm reading this book and you mentioned that monks really live in the present moment, and they do, because it reminded me of something that was in that book, which was some monks won't even plan the next day. Like they'll go to sleep and not even plan what they'll do when they wake up. And a lot of us are living in the future. Like we're planning, we have calendars and we're like, okay, we have this and this and this. And it's just, yeah, it was a beautiful reminder that living in the present moment is where really the magic happens.
Yeah, exactly. And I always fantasize about, I'm kind of one of those people who like would actually go in a cave and just like meditate for the rest of my life. But there's definitely a balance that can be had with, you know, having these goals and these things to look forward to, but also living in the now. Like that's something that I really try to achieve in my life and help my clients with as well.
That's so inspiring. You are very spiritual. Every single time I go on your story on Instagram, she's either meditating or she's doing yoga. It's so inspiring because I'm like, crap, did I meditate today? I've got to do it now. So it keeps me on track, which I really, really like. So guys, if you want to stay accountable, definitely go give Erica a follow. But I'm so interested to know what your spiritual routine looks like. Like, what do you do every day? What's your everyday spiritual routine?
Yeah, so the mornings are typically the same. So I wake up and right away I do my morning pages. And this is really in service of just like brain dumping everything that's going on in my head. I don't know if you experience this, but right when I wake up, it seems like I have a million thoughts and just all going in different directions. So I love just writing 3 pages of a stream of consciousness to help clear that out and really check in with myself. Like, what does my body need? What does my mind need? What does my soul need? Like, what do I need to thrive today? And just really checking in and seeing where I'm at that day, because every day is different. And from there, I do my meditation practice, usually for about 30 minutes. And I make a smoothie, which I feel like is a spiritual practice. Like I bless all the ingredients that I put in it. And it reminds me of my future goals, because I want to live on a farm someday and just be able to like live off the land and have all this tropical fruit. So I kind of picture myself like using the tropical fruit like as I would in the future. And that's pretty much my morning routine. And then throughout the day, like in between my to-do list, my work activities, I really try to create space between the things that I do and also use that time to check in and get present again, come back to my being. If something really stressful happened or if I'm tired, like just meet my needs, whatever that is. Like in the past, I used to just rush through everything, like go through one thing to the next thing to the next thing from my to-do list. So that is really a practice that I've loved taking on to help me maintain that presence throughout the day, because I have it in the morning when I do my meditation and checking in with myself then. But, you know, as you greet the world and you experience other people, like you lose yourself a little bit. So that has been really key for me. And from there, like every evening is different. I don't really have a strict thing that I do like I would in the morning, but it can look like doing another meditating practice or breath work, maybe yoga if I've been sitting a lot that day, and just really anything else that connects me to my spirit and fills up my cup.
I love that so much. You had so many good tips in there. I love that you treat every day as a different day and you don't have a set routine. You just kind of listen to your body, listen to what you need. I think that that's really powerful. I love that you also brain dump in the morning, because I do experience that, but I don't do that practice. So I'm actually going to do that. I feel like that would be really, really helpful. So thank you for that tip. You said something else that I really, really loved. I love that you incorporate visualization and manifestation into like just your everyday routine. So while you're making that smoothie, by the way, my coffee is my spiritual practice. So I make the coffee and I don't bless the ingredients, though I should. But I like that you do that and you'd visualize yourself on the farm picking the fruit. Like that's such a good little tip, because manifestation and visualization doesn't have to look like you're sitting there and visualizing and trying to picture it in your mind's eye. You could be doing tasks throughout your day and just envision that version of yourself that you want to be. Like, what would this version of myself be doing right now if I had this thing or whatever it might be? So that's really beautiful. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Yeah, definitely. Like, find your spiritual practices that work for you and just really prioritize them in your life, because it makes such a difference.
It really, really does. And I feel the same. I feel like there was a bit of a, you know, when it's kind of like, you know, when you go to the, somebody said this on the podcast, I think it was Cindy in like the third, oh, not the third episode. It was in an episode, but I was talking to her and it was like, she gave this analogy where you kind of go to the gym, you get you to your goal weight, you get to exactly where you want to be, and then you stop going to the gym because you're at like where you need to be. So I kind of did that with meditation. So it's kind of like I did meditation to get to my happy place. I got to my happy place and then I forgot it. And I kind of fell out of my spiritual practices that really like bring me back to myself. And that's something that I'm really incorporating in my routine. And it's so important, because I've realized, yeah, how vital it is to have a practice that speaks to you, that brings you back to your soul. Because you're right, you also said that, you know, the when you go throughout the day, you go about your day, you absorb other people and you take on other people's things, and it's really easy to lose yourself in that. So it's nice that you can do a practice morning and night that kind of brings you back to your soul, your true essence, why you're here, what you're doing, what you want to achieve.
Yes, that is so key. Like, that is how I love to live my life. Like, anytime I can check in and do a practice that brings me back to my being, like, it doesn't even have to be like meditating or, you know, yoga, like whatever people do. It can literally just be like a breath or like feeling your feet against the earth. Like, that is such a simple practice. And like, that can be considered a spiritual practice. Like, anything that you do with mindfulness and like have that intention to connect with your soul, your inner essence, like you said, that's a spiritual practice. And that's how we make our whole life a spiritual practice, rather than just these things we do in like our morning or our evening routine, it can really be your whole day.
I completely agree. I love that you said that. It's really important because you're right. It doesn't have to look like meditating for 30 minutes or yoga. It can be as simple as just taking a breath or just even acknowledging the moment that you're in, right? So that's really beautiful. I would love to know more about how you found coaching. So, you know, how did you actually fall into that world? Would love to know the story, the timeline of everything.
Yeah, it's actually been, I feel like I've been dipping my toes in the idea of it so many different times. Like I'll dip my toes in and then I'll bring them out. But the first idea that I had of coaching or like mentorship, because I didn't even really know what coaching was until I actually got coached. But yeah, when I was in high school figuring out what the heck I wanted to do, you know, after high school, honestly, I wanted to be a spiritual teacher. I just loved my spiritual practices. I loved personal development. Like I wanted to be a guru and teach other people about how beautiful life can be when you live that lifestyle. But it just didn't seem very practical and I needed to learn some more things before I could fully step into that. So I went to school to become a dentist. That didn't last very long, was totally not aligned with who I am, and just went on questioning, okay, what am I going to do? And I thought about becoming a health coach. I came across the school, IIN, it's pretty popular, and I thought about doing it, but I kind of got convinced by myself and others that maybe now is not the right time. So I went on some other endeavors, still just figuring out like, who am I here to be in this world? And, you know, fell into some different things. And I had a business mentor at this time, which was like 2 years ago. And she was also a life coach. And she was just starting her practice. So because we were kind of affiliated and doing business together, she like offered to coach me. So she just kind of like fell into my lap. I wasn't really seeking a coach, but I was like, yeah, I love personal development. Like I'll get coached. And she coached me for 3 months and it just totally changed my life, as coaching does. Like you just cannot see your blind spots like an outside observer can. So I learned so much about myself and I was so heavily in my masculine energy. It was so sabotaging and it was such a beautiful experience for me. So one day we were having a coaching conversation and I was still kind of like, I feel like I'm forcing in my life. It's not really flowing. And we're just talking about that. And she asked me, have you ever thought about being a coach? And I was like, yeah, actually, like so many times. And she told me about the program that she was doing. And I ended up learning more about it. And then I think it was like 2 weeks later, I signed up and went through that process and still going through that process now. But yeah, coaching people now, and it's truly what I'm meant to do. And like I originally wanted to be like a spiritual mentor, a guru, like I wouldn't call myself that right now, but it's definitely where I'm meant to be. And I'm able to use my spiritual practices and this spiritual leisure lifestyle that I live and, you know, show other people how beautiful this spiritual journey can be. And it's just amazing.
I love that. I completely agree in that coaching is life changing. I actually joined up with a coach as well prior to launching the podcast. And that's actually what got me doing what I love and what I've always wanted to do. So coaching can be so, so, so helpful. And I think it's such important work. So what would you say to someone like, what would you say to someone who wants to invest in coaching, but they're a bit like maybe skeptical about money or whether it's going to be worth their money and time? Like, you know, what would you say to that person who is thinking about coaching, but is just like, oh, I'm not too sure about money. Is it going to be worth my investment?
Yeah. Whenever I hear the money objection, I guess, or, you know, people feeling resistance towards putting the money into it, it's not really like coaching that you're paying for. It's not like you're paying for this hour of coaching. What you're really paying for is your dreams and this ideal life that you want to live, because coaching serves to close a gap. So whenever you're in a coaching conversation, there's a gap between where you are or who you are and where you want to be or who you want to be. So when you are interested in coaching, like, but you're feeling kind of stopped by the money or the time thing, like, just really think about, like, what is my dream life worth to me? And to me, it's priceless. So if you're scared to move forward with coaching and you say it's because of the money or it's because of the time, I honestly see that it goes a layer deeper than that. And often it's because people don't trust themselves to create the transformation that will allow them to create their desires and live their ideal life. So that's what I would say about that.
I think it's true. Yeah, absolutely. It's not an investment in coaching. It's an investment in yourself as well. Telling yourself that you're good enough to spend this money on you. So I also bring it back to the self-worth thing. Like, am I worthy of doing this for myself, helping myself really step into my dreams and what I want to achieve? And yeah, I think kind of doing it together, like supporting each other on this journey, is just so powerful. Like, we can achieve so much more when we're all helping each other and we're all like, yeah, just helping each other to grow and expand. So I do love that you said that. I want to bring it back to what you said earlier. So earlier you mentioned that, you know, coaching was something that was calling you for a while, but then you got convinced otherwise. Like, it's kind of like you always knew what you should be doing. It's like your higher self was just screaming at you saying, I want to do this, but, you know, society, other people can tell you otherwise, and then you can go along a different path. And that's what I did. And that's what many, many people do. So I find it crazy how, you know, we just choose to stay in like our comfort zone because that's what everyone else is telling us to do, because it's familiar, it's comfortable. You know, when you step out and you listen to that voice, you're stepping into the unknown. You're stepping into an unfamiliar territory. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know if you're going to succeed or if this is actually worth your time or not. So it can be really, really scary. And people live their lives like this, their entire lives. You know, they get to their deathbed and they're like, crap, like, I didn't do what I wanted to do in my life. So it's beautiful that you were able to have that realization for yourself, and you're like, you know, you slowly, slowly came to where you were supposed to be and where your soul was calling you to go. But I would love to know if you could give some advice for that person who might be trapped in fear right now, who knows what they should be doing, because I believe we all know what we should be doing. We just tell ourselves we can't do it for whatever reason, right? So I would love if you could give advice on that.
Yeah, the thing is about fear is, or really anything that stops us, fear, limiting beliefs, doubt. I always come back to this, and it's probably my background in Buddhism, but it's all created in the mind. These things that we are so scared of that might happen, they almost never happen. And we're scared of stories. We're not even scared of real life, because we're not talking about being scared of like falling or spiders or things like that. Like, these fears are psychological, like, they're only in the mind. And what the advice I would tell to someone is, it's always scariest to take the first step. But once you take that first step and go towards your fear, people say this all the time, but you realize that it wasn't actually so scary. And the more that you do that, the easier that it gets. And you start to experience what you are missing out on. Like what you said about people get to their deathbed and they realize that they wish that they would have done all of these things. So just thinking about that in my own experience, like that is 100 times scarier than going after what I truly want, even if it doesn't go how I think it will. And even if it doesn't go how I think it will, it's always going to lead you to your soul. Like any time you follow your soul's desires, it may not look how the ego thought it would, how it predicted it to, but it's still going, there's always doors that are open. And it's always going to lead you to where you are meant to be when you are following soul. So kind of back to what I was saying before, like the more you step into that fear and get a little bit more comfortable with it, the easier it gets. And it starts to get so exciting. Like there comes, you get to this point where, yeah, it's scary, but it's also so exciting because you know that no matter what happens, like you're still going to be okay. And it's actually going to be better than you thought it would, as long as you keep going and keep following soul. Like you're never not on your path.
I love that you said that, and I can validate that, guys. Like that is so, so true. When I started to step into fear and I stopped listening to that scarcity mind of mine that I had, I became addicted to it. I just wanted to keep doing it. So it gets to that point, and anything scary that pops up, I know that there's growth there, regardless of how it goes, regardless of if it goes okay or if it, you know, fucking sucks, whatever it is, I know that there's growth then. I will dive into it now. So if I'm scared, I'm like, good that I'm scared. There's something for me to learn here, and I'll dive straight into it. So I love that my perspective on fear has completely shifted, because I was paralyzed by fear. It kept me small for so long. It kept me from following my desires for so long. So I love that you said that, and I could totally validate that.
Yeah. And something I'll add to that is just normalizing the fear. Like our brains are literally designed to create fear to keep us safe. So right now, if you're wanting to do something, but you're scared and, you know, you're kind of feeling bad for being scared, like, oh, I shouldn't feel this way. Like, it's not actually that scary. Like, just know that we all experience it. It's just a part of our human nature. But because it is something that just happens in the mind, when we understand that, we can get power over it. And we have dominion over the fear. And we realize that we are not the fear. Like, we are the creators of our life. We get to decide what thoughts occupy our minds. And the more you practice exercising that power, getting dominion over these thoughts, the fears, the limiting beliefs, the doubt, you get more practice at it. And you can start to replace those scary thoughts with empowering thoughts. And then it helps to make the journey easier. And you can replace those scary thoughts with trusting yourself. And then, like we just said, like it becomes addicting, because you know that I can face this fear because it's just an illusion. And I'm actually going to replace this scary thought with an empowering thought. And then I'm going to keep going because this is my destiny, and I can never fail going towards my destiny. And my soul is always guiding me, always.
I love that you said that, and I really would like to dive deeper into that. So I would love it if you could define what the ego actually is, because I know a lot of the listeners are quite new to this world of spirituality, and they're still getting confused with, you know, what's my ego? What's my higher self? You know, what's soul? So could you give that differentiation between the two?
Definitely. So another way I like to describe the ego is it's your survival mode. Like it is this reptilian part of our brain that is there to keep us safe. It's there to predict and to hold on to what is known, because if we know what's going to happen, then we feel safe. So the ego always operates on what is already known. And everything that is already known is inside your comfort zone. So ego, survival mode, that's all in your comfort zone, trying to keep you safe where everything is predictable. And the ego can use fear to keep you inside that comfort zone, because outside your comfort zone, everything is unknown. And that is scary to the ego. And we don't want to hate on the ego or dismiss it. Like, it's there to keep us safe. And we can appreciate that at times. And how I would describe your soul is, your soul already knows everything, like, but it's almost like we don't know that. So the soul, like, knows the whole trajectory of your life and your life plan, and that is all in the unknown. That is all outside of your comfort zone. So how you can kind of distinguish, is this my ego talking or is this my soul talking? Anything that's based in like fear or anxiety or trying to predict something or fix something or solve it or figure it out, that's always coming from your ego. So a trick that I like to use on myself is I tell myself, any thought that doesn't empower my desires or where I want to go in my life is not true. It's a lie. It's an illusion. Because if you want something that you don't already have, or you want to be a version of yourself that you aren't already, that is unknown. That is outside of the comfort zone. And that is outside of where the ego lives, because remember, the ego lives inside of the comfort zone. So, you know, we have these desires, these things that we want to do in life, and we want to go towards them, but then we get these thoughts that maybe I can't do that. Maybe I'm not enough for that. Maybe that's not me. I'm not worthy enough. And that's the ego trying to keep you inside your comfort zone, to keep you safe. So it's a little tricky, because these stories that the mind creates, they can seem so real. They can seem so validated, and we start to believe them. And that's really the trick. That's why I tell myself, any thought that doesn't believe that I can have my desires, any thought that doesn't empower my expansion is a lie. It's just the ego trying to keep me safe. So I don't have to believe it. And even if I don't know how it's going to go or what I have to do to create my desire, I know that I can do it. And I'm going to replace this scared thought with an empowering thought and keep going.
That's so good. You did so well in explaining that differentiation between the two. So thank you for that. And to offer, I guess, a bit more clarity as well from my own experience, I really realized that the ego was kind of, it just creeps in there and you don't realize that it is. So like you said, it can be really hard, because these thoughts that you have that are from the ego, they feel real, right? They feel so, so, so real. And it's only until you like take a step back and you're like, wow, that's actually not the truth. This is the truth. So what was happening with me was like, I stepped into fear. I did the podcast and I was like on cloud nine, and I just kept, you know, releasing episodes after episode. And then I realized that it was actually through a reading that I realized that it was like brought to my attention. But when I finally realized that I was still operating from a place of fear. So while I was doing the thing that I wanted to do, I wasn't showing up as my true self because I was really monitoring the way that I was speaking so I could speak in a way that people would like and that would be accepted by people. So I was still monitoring what I would say, how I would say it. So I was controlling a lot of how I was speaking. So I wasn't speaking from the heart. I wasn't speaking from my higher self. And I didn't realize. So in my head, I'm like, wow, look at me. I'm doing all these cool things. I'm finally stepping into fear. And then I realized, wait, I'm still not being true to who I am because I'm scared to really show exactly who I am because I'm scared of not being liked, of being judged, and all of those fears, you know, pop up again. And then you have to do the work on that. So it can be really, really discreet. So I like that you mentioned that.
Yeah. And that's why I think it's so important to constantly check in with ourselves. And like kind of back to what we were saying in the beginning of the podcast, doing our spiritual practices that do connect us with our inner essence. Because if we don't take the time to drop in and, you know, get practiced at distinguishing what is ego or survival mode and what is soul or my highest self, then it gets really blurry, like you said, and it can show up. It'll keep showing up. So that's amazing that you were able to have that insight and realize how you were being and that it wasn't really in alignment with your true self, and then being able to shift into what was.
Yeah, no, it was so powerful when I finally made that distinction. It changed a lot for me. So yeah, I love everything that you said. You speak so beautifully on all of this stuff. I love your explanations. It actually brings me to a quote I wrote down when I was doing research on, you know, what you did and what I wanted to talk about in the podcast. There was a quote that I came across that you wrote, and it just stuck with me ever since I read it. And it was, I'm going to say it now because it's just so beautiful. It was, "Pleasure is my North Star and joy is my compass." Do you remember writing that?
Yes. So I can't take credit for that quote, but it has become one of the pillars of my life. So I recently read the book called Pussy, A Reclamation. I forget who it's by, but that is where I found that book, or that is where I found that quote. And I was like, yes, this is how I'm living my life.
Oh, it's so beautiful. And I guess that takes us back to the whole spiritual leisure lifestyle that you really promote. So I would love it if you could speak more into what that lifestyle looks like.
Yeah, definitely. So my brand is Spiritual Leisure Lifestyle, and this is really how I live my life. And what a spiritual leisure lifestyle is it's becoming the creator of your life so that you can flow with your destiny, so that you can follow soul. And it's so aligned with everything we've been speaking about, because it's becoming a sovereign being who has dominion over their mind and can use the power of their mind to create their ideal life, as well as create passion, fulfillment, bliss, whatever it is that you're after, from within, and really self-sourcing that, rather than chasing it in goals or in things outside of yourself. So living a spiritual leisure lifestyle, it includes practicing and filling your life with spiritual leisure. Spiritual leisure is your spiritual practices. It's anything that you do in your free time that connects you with your inner essence, your purpose, your soul. And it's done with mindfulness and intention. And spiritual leisure, it's just the things that you love to do that allow you to experience the zest of life. They're these things that fill up your cup. They're grounding in nature. They allow you to access soul, mindfulness, well-being, purpose, vitality, pleasure, a grounded state of being, expansion, alignment, self-mastery. So kind of like I said in the beginning of the podcast, how between my work tasks or my to-do list, I take those breaks to connect to my soul, to become present again. So that is me filling my life with spiritual leisure. And I work with my clients to embody this lifestyle in a way that works best for them. And I always recommend to everyone to do spiritual leisure at minimum 3 times a day. So once in the morning, once in the middle of the day, and once in the evening. Because it's just really this way to, it's like a pattern interrupt. It's so easy to fall into our unconscious states of being. Like, I think people say like 95% of our behavior is actually unconscious. So it's a way to stay present and intentional in your life. And flow with your destiny.
I love that you brought up that statistic because it's true. So many of us do live unconsciously, even when you are quite a conscious person. It's so easy to fall back into old patterns and ways of being and reactions and all of that. So reacting unconsciously is what I tried to say. Didn't come out properly, but that's fine. So I love that you teach on that. I think it's so important because we can get so goal oriented as well. I think a lot of people can get into like the hustle and bustle and like, you know, what's coming in the future, and you miss the present moment, you miss the journey. And if you actually listen to a lot of people who have made it, like have actually made their dreams come true, they always say they wish that they took a step back and actually enjoyed the process of getting there. So what you teach, I find, is really that, just filling your own cup now so that you're not constantly like looking for something else to fill it, right?
100%. I love that you said that because that is the exact purpose of this lifestyle. Because the kind of person that you just described, like that was me before I was getting coached myself. I was so in my masculine energy. I was just always doing, like I have such big dreams and I want to live my best life. So I thought to live my best life is to like fill my schedule with experiences. So I'm always like doing something and making the most of my day and working towards my dreams. But you're right. It makes you so future focused and you're putting all of your happiness in these future goals. And then it makes you feel separate from your desires. It makes you feel like you're lacking and like your life isn't good enough right now. So that was me for so many years. And I couldn't appreciate my life in the present moment, no matter what goals I achieved. Like I would be always achieving things, but it was never enough because I was always looking at the next thing. So kind of coming full circle, it was December of last year, and I was just so fed up with this way of being that I had, just like never feeling like enough. So I made the intention that my only New Year's resolution, I usually set so many goals, my only New Year's resolution was to ground myself in heaven on earth in every present moment. So that was my intention, to really enjoy the journey and not put all of my happiness in the present moment, and to use my spiritual leisure to tap into all of the feelings that I thought that I would get from achieving my goals. Because everything that we do in life, it comes from this innate desire to feel a certain way. Like we want money because it'll make us feel safe. We want to travel because it'll make us feel free or to experience beauty. We want to have close relationships because we'll experience love. If you get to the root of every desire you want, it's always to fulfill a need to feel a certain way. So if we can, it's no problem to like be want to achieve all of these goals and have these big dreams. But if we can look at what is that thing that I want? How is it going to make me feel? Because that's really what I want, is the feeling. And then how can I experience the same energy and emotions of my desires, but experience them now? So the way that I did this was through my spiritual leisure. So kind of like I shared with like the smoothie example, like I have a dream of having a farm, growing all of my own food. That's amazing to work towards. But how can I tap into the energy of that right now? So every time I make my smoothie, I feel that experience, like what it would be like to be able to pick all of the fruit fresh that day and make a fresh organic smoothie. So that is a way that I help my clients to not be so goal-oriented and future-focused, but really receive the ecstasy of your life right now, in the present moment, through your spiritual practices, while still moving towards your goals. It's that balance.
So good, because it's so true. And also, that was me as well, Erica. I relate to that in that I was that person who you get so caught up in the goal that you forget the journey. And yeah, I love what you teach. I think it's so, so, so important. It actually reminded me of a book called, it's by Napoleon Hill. It's called, I'm forgetting the name. Conversations with the Devil, something like that. Do you know it? What's it called?
Yes, it's something like that.
Outwitting the Devil. Outwitting the Devil. That's the one. Yeah. I'm in the middle of reading that, but I love that you said it's that feeling that we're all looking for. We're searching for a feeling. And that's something he describes. Like this man was quite successful in many ways, but he constantly, like whenever he would get to this certain level of success, he'd be like, this isn't what I want. This isn't meeting my needs. And it was constantly a feeling of happiness and fulfillment that he was searching for. So it, you know, when he got a lot of, when he got the money, it wasn't enough, because he was like, it's not about that for me. It's the feeling. And I think it's like that for everyone. So I love that you focus on cultivating that in your present life today, because that's all that we're after. And reminds me of a post that I put up a while ago. I went traveling with my partner just to somewhere in Australia, and it was just a really, like, it was an awesome trip. And usually what would happen to me when I would go on my holidays is that I would dread coming back home. I'd be like, oh my God, like I have to go back to life and I have to go back to work and I don't want to do it. And you'd get like really, really depressed, right? But this time I didn't have that, because I was living a spiritually leisure lifestyle where I focused on really loving my life now, and really like, just I loved every day for what it was, because I knew that I was working towards my goals and I had made so much progress. So I'd really made my life exactly the way that I wanted it to be. So while I'm not obviously where I want to be, like at my goal, I am working towards that, and that makes me really happy and that makes me feel really fulfilled. So on this holiday, I didn't have that feeling of dread, like, oh my God, I have to come back home and, you know, do it all again, or, you know, do the game of life. Instead, it was a feeling of excitement. You know, what else am I going to create? How else am I going to grow? So it really reminded me of that when you were speaking on the feeling. I also love that you want to be on a farm and lock yourself away in a cave and just meditate for days and days and days. I love that you want to do that. I kind of want to do the same, but not on a farm. I'm too lazy for that. I want to be in a forest and just lock myself up in like a little hut in the forest and no one talk to me while I meditate and just plug back into source.
Yeah, this is probably like it's really my version of heaven on earth. It's my biggest goal that I'm working towards. My biggest dream is to create an intentional community, or another name you could call that is a commune. And just live off the land, have this community where people can just share their gifts, and we all just exchange gifts, and it's based on an economy of sharing. And yeah, I would love to have it kind of be a retreat center as well and teach people about raising their consciousness and also teach people about regenerative agriculture and living off the land and how other people can also create their own intentional community. Like, I seriously think it's the way of the future. Like, how we are operating right now is just not sustainable. And if we can all just be more collaborative like that, I think it will make the world a lot better place.
I can't believe that your goal is to have an intentional community. I love that so much. I actually just watched a documentary on that, so that's really funny that you're mentioning it. Have you ever visited one of those communities?
Oh, yeah. So I lived in Costa Rica for a couple months, and I visited a bunch of different farms, and they weren't exactly my vision of this intentional community. Some of them were educational centers. People would come and live there and work on the farm and take some courses. So I've kind of blended everything that I've seen. And I just want to create my own thing in that way. But I've definitely experienced like the community living on the farm. And it's just so aligned with my soul, the way I want to live.
That's beautiful. That's so beautiful. And you'll get there and maybe I'll come and visit and you can teach me how to live off the land.
Oh yeah. Everyone is so down. I've talked to this about so many people, of course. And I don't know, there's probably like 50 people by now that are like, yeah, I want to do that. So it's definitely happening.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. I'm so excited. So excited to see what the future holds for you then. How exciting is that? I love that everyone that I speak to on this podcast, all of their desires are so different. So I think like we can all get caught up in this like competition, like, oh my God, we, you know, everyone's kind of like trying to, it's like, it's the old masculine way of doing things, right? We're trying to step into the feminine, but I really realized that everyone really truly desires something completely different, and it's so nice that they do. Like, everyone has just their own thing that they want to work on and nourish and nurture.
Yes, there is space in this world for everyone to be exactly who they want to be and to achieve and fulfill all of their desires. There's no need for this lack mentality or competition. There's literally space for everyone to do whatever they want.
Such a beautiful reminder, because there is. We all can do exactly what we want to do, and it's going to look different for everyone. So beautiful. Thank you so much for speaking on all of that. That was so helpful. I learned a lot as well from you. So it was beautiful. I would love it if you could tell people where they could find you. So where is the best place to connect with you?
Yeah, definitely. So my number one place that I love to hang out is on Instagram to connect with people. So my handle is at Erica Inner Essence. So at Erika period INNER period ESSENCE Erica.inner.essence.
Amazing. I highly, highly recommend checking Erica's page out. Thank you so much again, Erica. It was a pleasure chatting with you today, and I hope that you have a lovely rest of your night. It's nighttime there, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Thank you so much. It's such a joy to be in your energy.
If you enjoyed today's episode and you feel inspired to rate and review the podcast in iTunes, it would mean the world to me. Also, if you are wanting to connect with me on a more intimate platform, you can find me on Instagram at Closeted Soul. I would love to hear from you. Finally, you can learn a little bit more about me and this space just by visiting my website at www.closetedsoul.com.